But along with all the good things spring days bring, we're being warned by Let's Talk Nature writer Barry Madden that the gulls are back on the prowl. Yes, that's right, those annoying birds that want to steal our chips. Here's Neil.
It won't be long before the streets of our larger towns and seaside villages will once more echo to the sound of caterwauling gulls setting up a breeding territory on their chosen patch of real estate. Although urban breeding is a relatively recent phenomenon, it's no great surprise that the birds have exploited this niche. We humans provide a wealth of predator-free nesting sites in the main flat roofs of industrial complexes, an abundance of food in the form of discarded fast food scraps and overflowing bins, and the general environment is warmer and altogether safer than the great outdoors. The species that choose to spend the spring and summer cheek by jowl with hurrying pedestrians and fast-moving cars are the herring gull, the archetypal bird of seaside postcards, and the lesser black-backed gull. Both are quite large birds of similar size and shape, but as its name implies, the lesser black-back has a markedly darker grey mantle and yellow legs, as opposed to the herring gull's pale grey and light pink legs. The birds appear in numbers during April, with several hundred pairs now utilising our inland urban spaces to raise their young. Thousands more use buildings at Great Yarmouth and Lowestoft in particular for the same purpose. They generally avoid close contact with humans, but will of course mug us for an odd chip or a piece of sandwich. However, there is no doubt they are becoming much bolder and no longer regard humans as a major threat. Young birds will happily stroll around pavements, weaving between the feet of scurrying pedestrians, and some more feisty adult birds will mob innocent office workers who stray too close to their precious chicks. I've also witnessed them stealing food from the hands of unwary holidaymakers, and have myself been robbed of my fish and chips while on holiday in Yorkshire. On that occasion, one bird actually crashed into the back of my head, surprising me so much that I dropped my untasted dinner. Within seconds, all that remained was an empty tray tumbling along the road. I think it was an accident that the bird actually made contact, but I'm not 100% certain about that. The gulls do prove themselves quite useful as a means of pinpointing passing birds of prey. Not much gets by them, and when they spot a potential danger, they will mob it relentlessly, drawing attention to the spiralling raptor with their barking yelps. I've been able to spot many high-flying buzzards jinking to dodge the lunges of the gulls that I would never have suspected as floating above me without the keen attention of the gulls. Such shenanigans don't always work in the gulls' favour, especially when trespassing into the realm of our urban peregrines that are not averse to including gull on their varied menu. Both the peregrines and the gulls do, however, share the habit of making inroads into the local feral pigeon population. Although they are a staple element of the peregrine's diet, I've seen gulls catch and down feral pigeons in the local river, as well as simply killing them outright whenever they can catch them. Easy pickings, I suppose. It's not just the larger gulls that exploit our urban environment. About this time last year, I wrote about my observations of ringed black-headed gulls that overwinter here in Norwich. I can provide an interesting update to that story. A few days ago, while feeding the ducks with my grandson, a regular weekly ritual, we happened upon a young chap from the University of East Anglia who is responsible for this local ringing program. As we distributed seed to the thronging mallards, he began to throw bread to the gulls. Within a couple of minutes, he deftly caught one of these screeching birds in mid-air with his bare hands, a quite impressive feat of dexterity. He was, of course, licensed and trained to do this, and the bird was totally unharmed. He brought it over to the bench beside us, where we were able to watch him place both bright blue-coloured coated plastic rings as well as conventional silver lining on its legs. My three-year-old grandson was most interested in all of this, particularly the fact that the gull was pecking away at the ringer's fingers with gusto. Great fun, he thought. "I'll never forget that," he pronounced afterwards, and I hope that proves true. At the very least, it now gives us an additional focus for our weekly duck feeds. We will look out for our bird, ring number 2E23, and make sure it gets a generous helping of whatever unhealthy food scraps we can throw in its direction.
So if you go down to the woods, watch out.